The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doesn't only issue the Beatitudes, he goes on to talk very substantively, sometimes uncomfortably, about the law, but he begins that going from talking about his disciples being the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He goes into talking about the law and its fulfillment. He says not an iota, not a dot will pass away before it is fulfilled. And what is he talking about? Martin Luther, he thought about those words a lot. Matthew's gospel is a favorite place of preaching for him. We're in the middle of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, talking about Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount, coming to those very words in Matthew chapter 5. Joining us to continue this series, Dr. Ken Sherb, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University and formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you today?
Very well. Here are the verses that we're going to consider today. This is Christ's words from the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus talks here a lot, Ken, about the law and its fulfillment.
Yeah, he does. And Luther says this is probably because the Lord foresaw that people would think that he himself was about to abolish the law, or at least to criticize it and denigrate it. After all, here he is sort of setting himself against the people who were noted to be exemplars of fulfilling the law, the scribes, the Pharisees. And so, to guard against this misimpression, this misapprehension that Jesus is somehow himself criticizing the law, Luther says, here, Christ explains from the outset that he has no intention of abolishing the law, but had come for the very purpose of correcting and confirming the teaching of the law in opposition to those who were weakening it by their teaching. Because that's what the Pharisees and the scribes really were doing, was weakening it.
So Luther understood Christ's opposition to the Pharisees as an uphill battle paralleled in some ways by his own in his day, didn't he?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Luther, throughout his exposition of the Sermon on the Mount, we've seen it in the parts we've done just thus far, is liking to draw parallels between his own situation, proclaiming the gospel against the legalism of the church of his day, to Christ proclaiming the gospel against the legalism of the first century Judaism. But he does that even more, Luther does, in this section. After all, the Pharisees, in effect, were the quote-unquote best people in first century Judaism. And Luther says, well, we're stuck here with having to criticize and complain about the doctrine being taught and practiced by the quote-unquote best people in the church, which would be, in some cases, high officials like bishops or the pope, or notably religious types like monks, etc. These are the best, most highly religious people in the society. And so Luther really is putting these kinds of parallels between Jesus and his preaching situation in the Sermon on the Mount and his own, Luther's own preaching situation there in the 16th century into juxtaposition here. And so he says, just as Christ said that he was, in fact, really more respectful toward the law and the prophets than the Pharisees were, because he was, in fact, telling the truth about the Scripture, not weakening it, not watering it down. So Luther said that he and his colleagues were, in fact, setting forth the correct meaning of the Scripture in their day. Christ was not denying that the Pharisees had the law and the fathers and the prophets, and Luther says, we are not condemning or denying that under the Pope there were Christians or baptism or the gospel, but what we are saying is what we have is the right baptism and gospel. And that, by the way, Todd, is an important point, and it's a point that you find in Luther, but you don't find in some of the other reformers, in other wings, as it were, of the Reformation, or other, shall we say, brands of the Reformation, is a willingness to acknowledge that there is a continuity as long as the gospel is there. To the extent that the gospel is there, there is the church. Well, a related point, a related parallel that Luther brings up, is he says, Christ goes out of his way here to inform people he is not introducing some novel, unheard-of teaching. Luther says, what the gospel or the preaching of Christ brings is not a new doctrine to undo or change the law, but, as St. Paul says, the very same thing that was promised beforehand through the prophets in the Scripture. And so also, Luther says, we are not looking for or bringing anything new. He says, we accept the same scriptures, baptism, and sacrament that our opponents have, and we do not intend to propose something new or better. What Luther was trying to do was reform the church, not completely refound the church. And one more point of similarity between Luther's preaching situation and Jesus' preaching situation that Luther notes. He says, Christ looked out at the situation around him and saw that doctrine and life were just in a terrible condition. And similarly, Luther says, getting back to that point with which he began, that people will not really listen to the gospel if they do not hear the full demands of the law, he says that the papists have ignored the most important doctrine. And because they have ignored, as it were, the real good news of Christ's completed atonement and his justification of the world when he rose from the dead, they're finding their gospel, or trying to find it, within the law. And so they say that Christ's commandments, for example, here in the Sermon on the Mount, are just bits of good advice. And so Christ begins, Luther says, from the bottom. He doesn't start sort of from the top with the gospel. He begins from the bottom by clarifying the law. And that's what he's going to do, really, for the rest now of Matthew 5.
What did Luther mean about treating Christ's commandments as if they were just bits of good advice?
Well, Luther's going to get into this more and more as he goes further and further into the exposition of the text of Matthew 5. But he gives a few examples right at this point. The claims, for example, that it is not necessary to love God with all your heart, that a person is honoring his parents if he decides to enter a monastery or gives the church money that he might have used to support his parents, or that a man may desert his betrothed to enter a monastery. These were all things that the church kind of made as allowances. So the church, Luther says, was really ignoring God's commands, treating them more like they're just good advice. Advice if you want to really progress toward the apex of piety and devotion, but they're not really necessary. While on the other hand, Luther says they're insisting on things that are just man-made trifles as if they were necessary.
Okay, Luther even finds occasion to correct Augustine at this point. Where is that?
Augustine said with respect especially to verse 19 here in Matthew 5, where he talks about fulfilling the law. Augustine thought that fulfilling the law could possibly mean, it's not the only meaning he would allow, but he said it could possibly mean supplementing its deficiencies. But Luther says, look, the law has no deficiencies. Even Christ could not improve on the law. And that's his whole point in these next few sections. He's not going to be improving on the law. He's going to be telling its true meaning. In fact, Luther says, even when Christ went on, beyond this chapter, to proclaim the gospel, even that was not supplementing the law. That was bringing a completely different kind of teaching from the law. So really, Luther explains that what Christ is saying here in this sort of pivotal section of Matthew 5, there about at the middle of the chapter, what Luther says Christ is saying here is no different from what St. Paul said at the end of Romans 3. We do not overthrow the law by faith, but rather we uphold the law. Christ, Luther says, wants to teach what the law is and what it requires in antithesis to the glosses which the Pharisees have introduced. And that's what he's going to do in the rest of this chapter, what Christ is going to do for the rest of Matthew 5. So Luther says, we want to polish and clean the gospel that the papists have darkened with dirt.
The words of Christ that not even a dot of the law would pass until it's all done, does that speak against or for Luther?
Well, the question is, who's doing the fulfilling to establish the righteousness of the Christian before God? Luther does say, once we have become Christians through baptism and faith, we do as much as we can. Still, we can never take our stand before God on this basis. In other words, the basis of what we have done. But he says we must always creep to Christ. He has fulfilled it all purely and perfectly, and he gives himself to us together with his fulfillment. So it is true that all must be accomplished and fulfilled, even to the smallest dot, but only through this one man. In other words, through Christ.
Dr. Ken Sherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 12th, we're going to talk about the new present and the future of pro-life activism with Tina Whittington, Executive Vice President of Students for Life of America. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.